All right, and welcome to a very special Fear Street episode of the Extra Features podcast. In this episode, we'll be discussing all three Fear Street films on Netflix. I am Doug.
I'm Sadie Sink.
I'm Daniel, but wish I was Sadie Sink.
Who does?
I wish we're Sadie Sink, too. I mean, cool. Now, I seem to be a little confused. There's usually other people here to bug me. I only have two people to bug this week. What's going on?
Where's the intern?
Where's Kevin?
They don't like horror. They're missing
out. Fair enough. So this is, just want everybody to know, I think Daniel and Doug cooked up last year to bug me, to make me watch films I would normally watch. Not that I have anything against horror. It's just not something I run to.
Spooky.
Well, horror is one of my favorite genres, so I watch them all the time.
Mine too.
Oh, and we know that.
And this is just the appetizer for the special.
Main course.
For yes. This year, people, we're doing something special. We're having two specials. We're doing a Fear Street special. And then when you're done this, you can click on the next link on our YouTube page. Or if you're watching on YouTube, we have tons of podcasts at extrafeatures.com. That's the, what am I saying, .com? Losing it. And you can listen to other stuff. It's but Canada. Don't worry, it'll all be here. So we're here to discuss Fear Street, guys. Who's leading this one off?
Well, I was thinking, why don't we discuss the overall story, since all three films, they lead directly into one another, even though...
Really?
Yes, even though they're told not in chronological order. The first one is Fear Street 1994. Then we have Fear Street... 1978, and then Fear Street 1666, all the way back then. But believe it or not, they actually tell a connected story all the way through. And I was just wondering, what did you guys think overall?
Well, since you guys always call me the rookie at horror, I get this one first. I presume that's the way it's working.
Okay.
I love the first movie. I had a great time, but I love this kind of, this is my kind of movie. I like kids getting hacked up. I like crazy serial killers. I like the witchcraft angle. I like the first one a lot. Now, we get to the second one. I'm kind of into it because I'm really into the Friday the 13th movies, and I really feel they've ripped a lot off that, which is fine. I'm totally still cool. And I'm still pretty much sick. The third one, though, I have a lot of issues. I didn't really like it at all. I found it – I didn't care about – they were trying to act old school. It was terrible. I'm kind of like, you guys have no idea what you're doing. Literally, can you wear this and discuss Macbeth for us and do it like Shakespeare, but badly? And that was terrible. And then when they came back to our time, fabulous.
Okay.
1994 part two.
Yes.
Now, Doug, did you want to go into yours?
Sure. I would say overall, I'm actually kind of the opposite of Simon. I actually thought the movies got better as they progressed. The first one was probably my least favorite.
Wow. My favorite.
The third one, my favorite was the middle. I liked the middle one. I liked those kind of slasher horror films. So that was my cup of tea. But overall, I actually really enjoyed the story. I'm not really familiar with the R.L. Stein Fear Street books, so I don't know how true to the books these movies were, but I really did enjoy overall the overarching story here.
Daniel, would you be the right age for these books when they first came out?
I was about to say, like, I think they started to come out in the 2000s. No, I think it was in the 90s. But I was more on the younger R.L. Stein. I was more on the Goosebumps. Okay. So the Goosebumps were my shit. But honestly, I had never heard of Fear Street.
Back this up. That's nothing to do with Goosebumps?
No. It's a different universe.
Yeah, I think the Fear Street books were for older readers than the Goosebumps. Yeah.
So like 13 to 15, probably.
So R.L. Stein was just bringing in that bank. All throughout the 90s and early 2000s.
I think he's bringing in the bank now, because, I mean, so far I've pretty much thought most of the stuff based on his material has been excellent.
Yeah, like, I really like...
Goosebumps movies I thought were good. These are solid films. They're not going to blow you away, but they're watchable.
Yeah, I like the Jack Black Goosebumps one.
That was excellent. The first one was good. Yeah. I mean, second I think he has some very creepy stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Especially the villains in this one. Now, I agree most with Doug, actually. We didn't convene before this, but I thought the first one didn't. See, that's what was surprising to me, because I love slashers like that. I love Scream. I love the meta. But I didn't find the first one took enough risks, to be honest. And I thought,
it didn't. But that's why I like it. It just had that kind of slasher mentality. But I get it.
And to me, like, the first one felt too much like, okay, it's Netflix. Let's do Riverdale, Sunny Side versus Shady Side versus Sunnydale. Whatever, it's Buffy and shit, you know, because it's basically ripped off the name.
Buffy, I'm going to kick your ass off this show.
I didn't knock Buffy. I'm not knocking Fear Street Part 1 because it's the same city.
I disagree. It's Buffy. You can't go wrong with Buffy. I love Buffy. Fear Street.
I'm just shitting on the name. It's unoriginal. Oh, it's Sunnyvale versus Sunnydale versus Sunnyvale. One letter. So that's on Errol Stein, though. But no, I didn't think the first one took a lot of risks. I think I would like it more now that I know where the story went. So I'd like to rewatch it. I liked it when there was the kills. I think the cast just didn't work for me in the first one. That's why I liked the second one a lot more, because Sadie Sink really worked for me. I like the Friday the 13th aspect. Kind of brings in some Final Girls in there, which I really like. Just the 80s style of slasher. And I thought the villains were cool. And then my favorite's the middle one. I like the third one a lot, even though it's more filler. But I like that it just, like, obviously tells the story of what actually happened with Sarah the first hour. And then it's like, ooh, 1994 part two. And I love, like, the battle royale at the mall. Like, when they turned on each other, I thought that was awesome.
That was cool.
Yeah.
But that first hour killed me. That terrible acting from this lead actress that's trying to Shakespeare her way through it was beyond bad.
And I thought, like, the weakest part of the third one for me was the fact that, like, for obvious reasons, they didn't have the soundtrack for the first hour. And I thought that was one of the best parts of the series or the trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you guys want to get into specifics about each film?
Sure.
Well, hold on. Before we get there, let's just slow down and discuss one. Okay. What did you guys think of the casting?
I like the adult characters a lot better than I like most of the kids. I think there was a handful of teenage characters that I liked. I liked the brother. I thought he was great. But overall, I really liked the adults better. I liked Gillian Jacobs. Mm-hmm. I was a fan of her from Community, so seeing her in these films, that was cool. I like the adult Sheriff Good. I thought he was very good. No pun intended. And Martin. I loved Martin. I thought he was fantastic.
Who, Martin?
The janitor who comes back at the end.
Okay.
In the last movie. But I gotta say that the first film, I didn't really like any of the teenage characters. That for me is why that was my least favorite of the bunch. I didn't really care for any of the characters. The teenagers in the second film I liked better, mostly because Sadie Sink, I liked her from Stranger Things.
Hold on. We're just staying with one. We'll get to two.
Okay.
Just stop at one.
Okay.
I'll say that on the first one with the cast, I agree. Like, I was kind of disappointed to be like, it was like, oh, to be continued. I was like, I don't really care to see these people again, to be honest with you. Because they're fine, but they're just boring characters. Like, I mean, it's probably saving the budget with, like, doing a lot of, like, probably, I don't know if they were first timers or, but making their stars with this film. And I just don't know if they were powerful enough. So that's why I was, to sneak in the third one, that's why I was disappointed that she was playing Sarah in the third one.
I really felt they were had leftovers from the Stranger Things casting.
Oh, for sure. Maya Hawke in the first one.
Just like these people were good enough to be on Stranger Things. So they're like, oh, wait, we got their numbers already. Let's call them.
Yeah, that's
so what I just didn't feel they were good actors. I enjoyed what they tried to do. I thought the script was helping them along, like really making them try to be more presentable and be better actors with a solid script. Because this script is bad. The thing looks terrible.
Yeah.
Because it has such a song script, I feel these actors can work with it a bit. And I don't think they get better, because I think the third one proves they can't act.
Yeah, I agree for the first one. That's why the first one felt so in-house Netflix to me, with Maya Hawke playing the Drew Barrymore role at the very beginning, which was fun. But yeah, and that's why I was like, you can see the comparisons to Riverdale, like, more obviously, I guess.
Okay.
Well, I think
you
also
watch Riverdale.
I
had to tap out on the Dungeons and Dragons season.
So season 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. Riverdale's a piece of crap. Please stop bringing it up. Nobody wants to watch that stuff.
Oh, I know. And that's why I'm calling it shit.
Okay. Sorry, Doug. Continue.
Well, I was going to say, one of the things I felt weakened the first one was lack of big set pieces. Mm-hmm. In my mind, there was two, maybe, the chase in the school and then the chase at the supermarket. Those are really the only two big set pieces. And for me, that's kind of when the movie came alive.
Sure.
When the killer was following the blood trail and then the massacre at the grocery store. Those are the two moments of the film that really came alive and that I liked. Everything else, just kind of weak. The actors didn't really... I didn't buy the relationships, I'll say.
Sure.
They weren't there.
Yeah. The only one I liked was the younger brother, because he felt like a younger brother. He felt like the annoying little brother who was usually right, but tagging along.
Yeah. Now, did anyone else find like the LGBTQ twist kind of weird, that we assume that Sam is a man when the jock and the cheerleader, and she's like, sees Sam, and then it turns out to be a girl? I thought that was just kind of like, ooh, we're inclusive.
I just figured it's what they threw it in. I don't think it exists in the book.
Yeah.
I think that was totally added, I would say, just because we want more LGBTQ, whatever other letters I'm missing, added to films. And I think that's to appeal to everybody, saying, hey, you're allowed to be this nowadays, which is fine with me. So set pieces. We're gonna ruin everything now, people, just so that you know. I love the opening of this film. I was like totally into it. When the kill happens and the this and that, I thought that was fantastic. And then I find it really slows down from there. You know, and I found even when they had the big car accident, this and that, I thought it could be filmed better. Maybe it's a production value issue. I didn't buy it. Like the whole finding of the witch thing, I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. This just doesn't feel real at times. Yeah. And I mean, I understand they're planning a story, it's a horror film, but you still got to make it feel real to me, somewhat. But I love the end of this film. This is why I like this, because I love the kills at the end. So anybody puts his head through a bread slicer, I'm in. You know what? Yeah. That was cool to me. I kind of like this. And I thought it had some good suspense at the end. I thought it picked up. The middle was okay. But this is what I like in a film. I love 80s slashers, and this is exactly what it was giving me.
I felt like this was more 90s, though.
Maybe. Well, I mean, just because they sold Scream at the beginning?
Yeah, or Scream. I love that shot, though, just reenacting like the slow like stabbing at the front. That looks suggestive on camera, but that's okay.
Well, I like that crazy woman. Is that? I think it's one. When the crazy woman they find on the street just starts killing them off.
Yeah, Ruby.
Going after Ruby. I thought that was great at.
Yeah, I thought her singing was cool. That added creepiness. And I really liked the villains, and I liked the kills, like the meat grinder, though my only complaint was that like they kill two core characters within a minute of each other. And I was like,
getting near the end of the film, we gotta do something.
Yeah, but I feel like in pacing, it might have been cool to like space it out a bit, because it's like, okay, now she's through a meat grinder, and now he gets an axe to the head. It's kind of surprising, though, right? Subverts expectations.
But I think that's what
we're
supposed to. I think we're expecting Stranger Things or Goonies or even Lost Boys. We're not many people die.
Yeah, you're kind of expecting them to survive the film, because
exactly. And knocking them off was quite a shock to me.
Yeah, me too.
I was shocked they died. It's like, oh. Didn't see that coming. I like it.
Yeah, that's what, for me, I was like, I don't really like these people too much, but I was kind of, at the same time, I was bummed to see them get killed, even if the ways they got killed are pretty awesome.
Okay, so.
That is fair.
So if this film was recast, which is what I think it needed to be done, I think it would be a much better film. I think all the elements are there, just that the actors let it down at times. They just can't seem to deliver lines properly and stuff, even though I did like it. Oh, that's $10. That's $10 for Doug and $10 for me for leaving your phone on.
No, that's $20.
Oh, no, it's 10 for me, 10 for Doug. It's $20 for you.
$20 combined.
Yes.
I'm good at math.
You worked on that, did you?
Yeah, you know, I showed my work right here. 10 plus 10.
New math!
Yes, I passed. Are you proud of me, guys?
We are very proud of you. Yes,
thank you.
So, before we get to number two, or if you guys have anything to add about this, did you guys know anything about Fear Street? Ever heard of it before we got here?
No, I didn't. I was just most if I would have known about it as a kid, I would have been like, yeah, because like that's when I got into Stephen King. I would have loved to heard about Fear Street and read it, but I never did.
No, I was drawn in by the trailers, the YouTube Netflix trailers. Like, oh, these look interesting. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're all coming out a week apart. That sounds like fun.
Was it a week apart?
Yeah.
Big 3-week event in July.
I didn't watch them till last week, one after
another. Now, staying on the topic of math, the last time I checked, 1994 comes after 1978.
I don't know, Dad. You tell me.
That's my transition to the second one.
1978, the year I was born.
Oh, really?
Are you that young?
Yes.
Hey, in 1994 is the year I was born. Oh, so that means Simon, so Simon, you're ancient. In 1666.
Wow.
I was born in 1666, you young ducks.
You look so good for your age.
I do. I've been sucking the souls of small children for years.
It's the Sadie Sink wig, I think.
It is. So, two is exactly what I want in a horror movie.
Yes.
Exactly. It's got a summer camp. It's got Jason, not really Jason, but it feels like Jason. Nightwing. It's got a whole bunch of stuff. It has kids at summer camp. I really, really like this setting.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't find it delivered for me at all. Had Sadie Sink, who I think it's the star of this movie, in number two. I like the setup for this a lot. When they go to visit the lady and say, you got to help us. And she's like, hold on, I got to tell you a story. And I like it. I like the whole thing. Is it the same director for this one as the other one, Daniel?
Yeah. It's Lee Janiak for all three of them. And then the writing is Janiak co-writes all three of them. But Phil Graziel on the first and third one. And then a guy called Zach Olewex on the second one. And then also another person called Kate Trefty on the third one.
Okay. Well, this one I like. I like the setup. I like the characters. I pretty much like this whole film, but I felt they didn't have enough to do. And that was really my problem. I feel like the film just kind of lets me go at one point and doesn't do enough. Like I felt they were running around the whole film not doing what I wanted them to do. There wasn't enough interaction with the killer. A lot of the kills are off screen. A lot of what Sadie Sink was up to, I thought was really good. I really liked the Sadie Sink stuff. But again, I'm going to go back to the actors. I don't think they can carry this script well enough. I think a new group of actors, again, would help the script out. But I did like the scene when they're down in the toilets talking to each other. I thought it was great. I thought the Sadie Sink harassing the other girl and the other girl harassing her was fantastic. I would have been a problem with the camp counselors going, okay, guys, come on. Really, you're going to send her home? Like, no, that wouldn't have happened. And, I mean, the other two guys, the woman and the other guy smoking drugs all the time. Like, really? Like, again, I guess you guys are just using cliches. I think some things need a little bit more depth here. Maybe have us find more things than randomly finding a book in a room. And that kind of stuff. I was okay.
Ex machina book.
Yeah, just that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I did enjoy this. I just didn't think it was as good as one, because one's got every element I could ever want in a film.
Okay.
So that's why.
I had the opposite reaction of you. I actually liked this one much more. I liked that it allowed the story to just sit in itself. It was a camp slasher film and it just allowed it to be that. There was a little bit supernatural stuff, finding the underground tunnels and all that stuff. I thought that wasn't my favorite part, but I thought it was needed to keep up with the lore of Saraphir. But I really liked when it was just in the camp and it was the killer going after the kids. I love that the second film was not afraid to have a high body count, even though, like you said, most kills were off screen.
Which annoys me.
But it still got kind of gruesome. We saw the fat kid get an axe.
Yes, we did.
And I like that it was not afraid to kill off kids in this film. I this was my favorite of the three.
The nurse getting it?
Yeah, no, I felt bad when the nerd got it, you know, because it's just like, oh, like, he's getting bullied, and then, like, he doesn't get a character arc, he just gets an axe to the head instead.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, it's a 80s slasher, so that's fine. Are they allowed to kill kids on screen?
Of course they are.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure, because, most of that was off screen, right? Because I like that they killed the kids, you know, but like most of it was in the dark and just suggestive, which I think is almost scarier sometimes.
I also think that was more an artistic choice for this film, just because it wanted as big an audience as possible. You're not going to get millions of downloads if you're a Serbian film and you're doing all that stuff on screen.
Yeah. Now, are these R or PG-13? Because there's a lot of – it's got to be R because there's a lot of F-bombs. Very gory.
And there was actually a sex scene in this one, which would definitely be an R rating.
Yeah. And
that means your children have not seen these films then.
No, actually, I'm a horrible parent, and my 13-year-old did watch these movies.
Now, I do have – did you subject little Dexter to this movie too?
Well, Dexter was in the room, as he is now, but he's sleeping, so he probably didn't watch.
As long as Dexter could not, because I'm worried about him.
So am I.
I agree with Doug. I like this the most out of the three. I thought this one took more risks. I love the movie The Final Girls, so I kind of like that vibe, like with the trying to hold each other's hand. I thought that was kind of nice. I like the killers when they all came out. I thought the beating heart with the creepy big life thing was very eerie and visually well done. So I liked that aspect. I liked just the fact that this is exactly where the hanging tree was, where Seraphir was hanged, obviously, by definition. So I thought that was cool. And I like the kills, and I liked Sadie Sink, and I like the actress playing the sister here, like more than
in the first. You know what? I got to give her credit. Film, I didn't thought think she there fit was, her like, role.
A lot of people, that was great.
I did like the sister a lot. You know what? The camp counts. You guys are convinced.
Sorry
me.
If Maybe my
I do like
bad.
This one as much as I like the first one. I think you guys have convinced me otherwise that I've missed some points. I did like it again. I feel they spent some money on the sets on this one. Like, I think they actually made some effort to make it feel very 70s. Very 70s. I mean, the camp looked like a real camp. Mm-hmm. I like the end. I really did enjoy. I did have a little bit of problems when the bus was leaving, and she kind of missed the bus. I was like, okay. I kind of felt that could have been a little bit better done. But, I mean, I got to let some things go, right? It's a horror movie, and she's going to miss the bus. We all know she's going to miss the bus.
Now, did you guys think that she was Christine all along, Jillian Jacobs?
No. Yeah. I have no idea. I just watched food.
No.
I thought she was Sadie Sink.
Yeah. See, that's what they, like, I thought so too, like, the whole time. But in the very beginning, she says, like, oh, my older sister died. And I kind of picked up on that. I was like, wait, like, Sadie Sink is definitely the younger one.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's why I was like, that was like a little hint in there if you rewatch it.
Well, the hair color is kind of similar too.
Yeah, I didn't think it was supposed to be as big a twist as it was, because I thought I had read somewhere that Gillian Jacobs was playing the older version of Sadie Sink. So maybe I spoiled it for myself ahead of time. I don't know, but I thought it was out there. I thought it was common knowledge.
Oh, okay. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. I thought it was weird, the end of this film, where they go to the mall and dig up the hand. I'm like, that's where I want to go back to Stranger Things. Is this the same mall as Stranger Things? I'm convinced.
Yeah, the third season? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I thought that when I was watching the third one.
They must just use it, because if Netflix is using it once, and this is a Netflix-produced series, they'll just call, hey, we need your mall again. Okay. And now I'm going to be watching Stranger Things looking for a tree in a mall.
I did think it was weird that they just allowed a tree to grow in a mall. Don't they have a foundation under that mall somewhere? What? Or do they just have a donut and they have a hole in the middle just to allow a tree to grow?
And they brought the hand too. They were like, okay, don't disrupt the soil. We have to make sure the hand is still there 20 years later.
They couldn't figure out. They had to build the mall around the tree, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then we see that there's a basement and the caves underneath, so it's like...
Yeah, so I was kind of like, I'm having a lot of issues here.
Loophole,
so what did they do? Like, cut? They go, hey, Doug, we got to keep this tree. No, we got to keep the earth, too, under the tree. We just can't pick up the tree. So we're going to build this mall. So we're going to build a catch basin here. We're going to hold up something to hold up the dirt. We're going to run a bunch of concrete so we can build a basement under this. Just not to interrupt the tree. I don't know how you even do that. There must be a way.
History.
I think you're looking for realism in a film that has supernatural killers.
Well, I want to know how far we have to dig down so they don't find the hand and get the concrete underneath the tree. Because the tree seems to be doing pretty good.
Yeah, I'm just going to chalk it up to magic. It's a magic tree.
Magic.
Or you could chalk it up to Satanism, even.
Yeah.
Or witchcraft.
So Satan, no, because she's not a Satanist.
No, but maybe not her, but there are.
That's true.
Spoilers, twist, coming.
Twist.
Now, I was just going to ask, before we went on to the third one, did you guys want to talk about the dynamic between Sadie Sink and the younger sheriff? Did you like that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
I thought they were hook, line, sinker.
Yeah. I thought they were a cute couple.
Yeah, I thought it worked too.
I thought all the couples in this worked. Just the acting could have been a little bit better.
I like the reference to Stephen King in this. Because the referencing to Stephen King kind of made it more realistic to me, because it showed that it was happening in a real world, not some made up author or anything. It's Stephen King. Stephen King is the biggest name in horror, so naturally, that's who the kids would be talking about. I like that little aspect
for sure
of it.
They would be.
And R.L. Stein's giving a little love to Stephen King. Now, did you guys notice in the first film that the bookstore, those are all Fear Street novels?
No.
And then the thing she uses at the bulletproof vest, those are all Fear Street book covers. The first one she sells in the first film is, I think, the first Fear Street novel.
Yes.
Now, before we go into the third film, I was reading these were supposed to get theatrical releases, one a month maybe. Maybe I'm wrong with that. Did you guys would like that better? I mean, would you have gone to see all three in theaters?
No.
I don't think they're good enough to be in theater.
I definitely would have rather have stayed at home to see these. With horror films, it has to be something really special or have zombies in it for me to pay to go see it. So these I probably would not have seen in the theater.
Brains.
But I was excited to watch them on Netflix.
Give me them spaced out, like, for the price of two over a day, maybe. But yeah, I probably just like if they were like 3 months apart, but then I would be pissed at the to be continued. So I think it was just best to have a 3 week event on Netflix.
But I'm saying if they're playing your dollar repertoire 30, one this Friday, one the next Friday, and one the week Friday after that, that wouldn't work for you?
No, probably not. I mean, it depends how long they'd be in theaters for, because I might just go on a cheap Tuesday and watch all three of them if they're all in at the same time.
I'd say just do a big drive-in event. Have all three movies play back to back at a drive-in. That could be fun.
That would be a good vibe.
Don't worry, Doug would be upset. Nobody would be wearing a mask, so he can't come.
And he,
well, if we're all in our individual cars, it's fine.
Yeah,
well, I've got a mask up when you go to get popcorn.
We can't sit together because you'll get mad at me. So
you can't sit with us.
He'll let you sit with him. It's just me. He doesn't trust me. Ask him.
Well, if you have a mask, that's a different story.
But I order popcorn, and then I won't have a mask.
What if we double mask? What if we have like a little hole for the popcorn?
Well, that defeats the purpose of a mask.
It actually does.
Yeah, that's
okay. Are we moving on to three?
Yes. Let's also, if I'm behind, it's because my internet is just bad. I'm sorry, guys.
Nobody cares.
You bitch.
So I guess the third one is Fear Street 1666, where we get the true backstory of Sarah Fear and how she is actually not an evil witch, but was actually persecuted by the town that she lives in and blamed for bad things going on by bum bum bum. Mm. It's actually the good family that's bad. You get it? Ooh. Good is bad.
Good is bad. Good is evil.
I will be honest. I like that twist. I knew there was something not quite right about the sheriff, especially way back in the first film when Martin was arrested and he thought it was for being for spray painting, and the sheriff said, "Oh no, this is mine." And so that was a hint way back in the first film that he was the one vandalizing the mall. But I kind of like that twist. I like the 1666 portion of this film. I like the look of it. I'm not saying the acting was brilliant, but I do like the look of that film. I like how it was very rural, how they got all the other actors back to play different parts. I enjoyed that aspect of it. It wasn't my favorite. But I did like the 1666 portion a little more than the 1994 part two.
Wow.
Crucible 1666.
Wow. Duggar told us. I had problems making it through the 1660. I just didn't care. I don't really like this time of world. I don't enjoy films usually in this time of world. And I just go, I've seen this film 50 times, 100 times. It's the same thing over and over and over again. I felt I was watching a student production of The Scarlet Letter. Really is what I felt like at times. I'm like, oh, here we go. I feel I was at your son's school watching Little Shop of Horrors and they just forgot the singing.
Yeah, but the 1666 portion did have one of the most gruesome scenes in all three films. When she goes into the church and all the kids have their empty eye sockets and the preacher is up there. That was awesome.
Yeah, don't care. Okay, then they come back to present day, which I loved. Now I'm in.
Yeah.
They got all my killers back. They got the squirt guns filled with blood. I think it was blood, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Love this scene. Absolutely love the end of this movie. This is what I like the first one. And this is my kind of film. I love when everybody shows up and has a monster mash. Where's the monster mash? We're going to mash. It was a graveyard smash. I love it. I just had so much fun watching the end of this film. The 1666 must have taken me 4 hours to finish. I watched 20 minutes. I'm like, I can't get into this. Come back, watch another, go click. I'm like, oh my God, it's another hour and a half. If they're still in 1666 for an hour, I'm done. I'm not going to finish this. I just don't care. But then I liked it. Then I started understanding who was really the bad guy and started explaining things. I'm like, okay, stuff is actually important to me. It's finally happening. Yeah, but I was just like, eh.
Yeah, I'd be honest. I liked the 1666 parts. I thought they were well written. I was interested learning that she wasn't really the witch and it was the good family all along. I thought that was a cool twist. But I was making my English muffin for an egg sandwich during it. I was kind of eating during it, and I think that was because I'd watched so many movies today that I was just like, I'd rather be watching football right now, but I have to watch Fear Street 1666.
Is this today you're watching this?
Yeah.
So just so people know, Daniel has had the list for 21 days.
Yeah.
He told the crab on the last day.
I literally always do this. Check my letterbox.
Oh, and your letterbox is? Why don't you tell people?
At Daniel Prin, I think.
So he always crams people. You're hearing this? Unlike Doug and myself that like to enjoy a film and space our leisure time out, watch one here and watch one there, and spend time giving you quality reviews so we have time to reflect on what we've watched. Mr. Prin, on the other hand, crams. And really hasn't had time to let those films develop.
I did watch 10 TIFF films, so that is why I crammed.
If people watch my letterbox at etrafeaturespodcast.com, we'll notice I watch at least one film a day, probably one and a half, in order to give you quality new release films every day.
I am still giving you quality opinions on this here podcast, even though I watched like six today, I think.
Yeah. Doug, can you watch six films in one day before we continue on with this conversation?
No, I think my max was five in one day.
Well, my record's 26 in one week, but that was just a fluke week.
Yeah, I think my record's six in one day. Well, I think it was seven one year at TIFF, and I will never do that again.
So going back to number three, Daniel, I thought the squirt gun thing was phenomenal. I liked the setup for it. I loved the end of the film. And I thought it was fun. So overall, I'll give this something in a few minutes. Can't give you that yet. Continue.
It's a teaser. It's a teaser. Yeah. But I love when they get back to the mall. It's 1994 part two. I think that's why I'd love to rewatch these, just with the whole story. Like, we know what's actually happened to Sarah, because I thought that was very interesting. And I love the second half a bit more than the first half, just because we get that soundtrack again. We get the slasher part again, just because that's what I like more than the Crucible part of the film. So I'd agree with Simon there, even though I liked the first part to an extent.
See, I wish we had actually gotten a little more about some of the other killers that came into the mall at the end.
That would be nice.
I wanted to see the welding mask guy.
I also wanted to see the little kid. I wanted to see, I forget what he was, but the guy with the razor blade. I wanted to see all of them. I wanted all of their backstories.
Yeah. Maybe the question is, are there more Fear Street books or no?
Oh yeah, there's like 20.
Oh, so I'm sure they're all in there. Another books.
Yeah, I'd like to know which one the burnt pervert serial killer guy is in. Because he looked interesting. Nothing wrong, interesting.
When they start beating the crap out of each other, the one guy was awesome.
I was like, Battle Royale. And then you just see all their bodies on the ground. Yeah. It really was a monster match.
Freddy, Jason, Ash movie for some reason, so.
We'll have to settle for that in the meantime.
Yeah, I love the end of this film. I thought it was perfect, like I said. But I love the first film, so. That's all I got to say about that. So, if you guys have more to add.
I'm kind of Fear Streeted out.
Yeah, I'm kind of afraid of this street, actually.
So, before we let everybody go, we just want to let everybody know that we do these on YouTube whenever Daniel gets around to editing them. So, that's Daniel Prin over there. So, blame him if it's not up quickly.
It'll be up on October 1st.
Probably true. You can find us if you don't want to listen, see our ugly faces. Well, this one especially. You can go to extrafeatures.ca. You can email us at extrafeatures@gmail.ca. And you can buy our lovely shirts. And they're on, I don't know, something I've forgotten. But we do have shirts. And we have lots of great podcasts. So I want to thank you guys for watching this. Thank you for you two gentlemen, Daniel Prin and Doug, for listening. I'm giving this a strong recommend, and which I do not do every week, so you guys know. I think we all are going to recommend it, unless you guys want to interject and tell me to get lost. So I think we got to give our big tagline right now so people know what to do. If they make it.
Re-review it.
And watch it.
Only if Sadie Sink is in it.